to the fifth case of the morning. This is my appeal number 063625, Myler versus the Village of East Gale. Mr. Waters.
Please the court, counsel. The issue here is whether or not Cody Myler had a constitutionally protected property right and continued employment with the Village of East Galesburg, and of course it's his position that he did. That's based upon a portion of the Illinois Municipal Code 65 ILCS 5 3.1-3510, and also on some village ordinances. The code essentially provides that the mayor or president may remove any officer appointed by the mayor or president on any written charges, and that if he decides to do that, he needs to get a concurrence of over one-third of the village authorities. The fundamental position that we take is that Myler was not terminable at will. The statute, the municipal code, was construed in Summers v. Village of Durand, and that court squarely addressed the issue of whether or not this provision overcame the presumption that an employment was at will. And it held...
No employment contract, that's correct, isn't it?
Pardon me?
There was no employment contract for a term
There is no employment contract.
So without that, why isn't he an employee at will?
Because the existence of a property right is determined as a matter of state law, and Summers v. Village of Durand...
But Summers was a case where there was an employment contract, correct?
I don't believe that's correct. He filed for breach of contract. I don't recall that he actually alleged that there was a written employment contract. He bonded his claim, as does the plaintiff here, on the provisions of the municipal code that says that discharge must be on charges with a concurrence. And he argued that that did, in fact, change him from an at-will employee to an employee who had rights in his job.
Counsel, there was a written contract in Summers, and the court said that implied in that written contract were the provisions of the statute. But that case doesn't stand for the proposition that the statute creates a constitutionally protected property right. And the rule of law is that procedures alone, which is all the statute provides for, do not create a property right cognizable constitutionally.
I apologize if there was a written contract, but I certainly agree that procedural protections do not constitute a property right. The issue is whether or not the provisions that say that there must be written charges and that there must be a concurrence by some portion of the corporate authorities is sufficient to create a property right. And Summers did, in fact, hold that that is enough.
That's just a procedural statute. It's not a, it doesn't convey any substantive right to termination only upon good cause, for example.
Well, it says there must be charges. And I think the contrary argument would be that, well, we could charge, well, we want to dismiss you because you wear ugly ties. And I don't think that would be consistent with the statute. And in fact, the Summers Court did hold that that statute was sufficient to overcome the presumption that employment was at will. The cases, the lead case that holds that that procedural protections alone may not be enough is the Supreme Court case of Bishop. And in that case, the district court judge found that the statute, by his interpretation, provided only some type of procedural protection. The appellate court, evenly divided, held that they would defer to the district court's determination, and the Illinois or the U.S. Supreme Court thereafter held that they would not institute any additional inquiries. So the Bishop case, which is the lead case on this point, essentially is a district court judge finding no procedural protection, and the Supreme Court says, well, there is no state court interpretation, so we're going to do as the appellate court did, and adhere to the district court's interpretation.
Is it your view here that the dismissal of the police chief would violate the federal constitution unless the president of the village agreed to it?
No, it would violate the Illinois statute for that reason. It violates the federal constitution if there are not charges, preferred and confirmed and agreed to by at least some portion of the corporate authorities.
You're saying it would violate Illinois law if the president didn't agree here?
I thought that you asked if the dismissal was by other than the president.
What role, an unusual twist in this case, of course, that the president at this time is the police chief's mother.
Yes.
Right? So you can't be fired unless your mother agrees with it or something like that.
Well, in somewhat unusual, it's a relatively small village. The Illinois Municipal Code basically provides that when a president appoints, that only the president removes. But that's not our argument. It's not our argument here. We're not trying to relitigate whether or not the removal was in necessarily compliance, but only that there was in fact a property right created pursuant to Summers because there was a substantive limitation on the right to discharge this gentleman. We also try to make the point that the ordinance creates a property right. The ordinance is I think I have probably called it muddled or muddied. The ordinance has an elaborate set of provisions to provide for dismissal. Requires that dismissal can only be on cause for specified actions, neglect, refusal, malfeasance, etc. And as I say, it's somewhat elaborate. And then the last section of the statute says, well, we can terminate anybody for any reason at any time. Our position is that the termination without any reason is, in fact, inconsistent with the municipal code, and for that reason should be stricken, and that what is left does, in fact, create a property right separate and independent from those created pursuant to the municipal code. Thank you.
Mr. Unrath.
Good morning, Your Honors. I represent the Village of East Galesburg. I'd like to respond initially to a comment counsel just made that the president appoints the police chief, therefore the president is the only one that can remove the police chief, and I take issue with that. It's one of the primary focuses of our argument is that the Illinois Municipal Code, at least Section 35-10, has no application to this case for the simple reason that the police chief was not removed by the mayor. 35-10 provides a procedure that a mayor must use to remove a police chief. That just didn't occur in this case. The Board of Trustees removed the police chief with no involvement of the mayor. And I think the court has noted the reason why. The mayor is the police chief's mother. Certainly it might be asking a bit too much to ask the mayor to fire her own son.
Apparently, East Galesburg doesn't have a nepotism policy.
Apparently not. Not yet.
If you can't count on your mother, who can you count on?
Actually, I think my mother would have fired me, but that's besides the point. So how do we fire a police chief when his mother is the mayor? Well, you look for the most specific statute that can apply. In this case, the Illinois Municipal Code clearly doesn't apply. That only applies when the mayor is firing the police chief. So we go to the village code under police department. Pardon me?
Interchangeable with president.
Mayor and president?
Isn't she, her title is the village president.
I believe it is, yes. And so I may be misspeaking when I say that she's just the mayor.
They are interchangeable.
need the same thing in Illinois.
When you look at the Illinois Village Municipal Code, the most specific statute is found under subsection 6, which is entitled Police Department. And there's one thing that is very important here. It says under subsection A, the president, with the advice and consent of the Board of Trustees, shall appoint a chief of police. That's very important there. Now, removal. How do you remove the chief of police? Chief of police may be removed by the president. Well, again, does that apply in this case? I'm afraid not. The president played no role. So we go to back to subsection 5. Now, as counsel has pointed out, there is a section there entitled Misconduct in Office, Actions, Charges Preferred. It details a very complicated procedural scheme.
What did they use to can the guy?
It's not noted in the record, but it could have been.
What does the record say they did, and what's your authority for saying they could do that?
My authority for saying that they could not do it under the municipal code?
No. What did they do to fire him, and what is the authority for them to do it?
I believe that's found in section 1-5-12J.
Oh, I had that at the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
What does it say?
Well, that's why I mentioned how is a police officer appointed, because all of the...
No. Get the... Just read it to me.
It says removal from office,
that's
authority.
Go ahead. We're on the right path.
Any officer appointed by the president and board of trustees, that is the chief of police,
we're ready.
May be removed from office at any time by a vote of 2/3 of all trustees.
Okay.
Is that how it was done?
That's how I think it was done. Now, Judge McDade appeared to believe that it was done under Section 6, under the subsection involving police chiefs. And he believes that we broke the procedure, that we violated the procedure. But since this is not a breach of contract case, he went beyond that.
What did the village board minutes say?
I don't believe that the village board minutes identify the actual provision.
Well, does it reflect a vote?
Yes, it does, of 2/3.
Okay.
Yes, and
did the right thing, whether Judge McDade realized it or whether anybody else realized it, they accidentally did the right thing under the code.
I don't think it makes any difference at all, Your Honor.
I know, but the answer is yes. Then, huh?
I think that
they stumbled out of this and it worked out, because there it was, bigger than it.
That's the way I see it, Your Honor. I think that they acted appropriately.
Being lucky means being smart every time.
In this case, we have this one provision that allows you to fire a police chief when without the action of the president.
When 2/3 of the board decide they're going to bounce him, he's bounced.
Yep, and this is the best part. The Board of Trustees may, at its option, cause charges to be preferred against such officer and proceed to hear them, as stated in the previous sections, or they can simply bypass that. In other words, on a 2/3 vote of the Board of Trustees, any officer appointed by the president, like the police chief, can be removed from office for a reason or no reason at all. Now, you cannot have a violation of your rights under due process unless you have a constitutionally protected property interest, and you cannot have a property interest unless the municipality is substantively limited in its discretion to fire someone. Here, the board, they can fire him for no reason at all. He could be doing a flawless job, but they'd prefer to have somebody else who they think will do a flawless job. That's fine. Under those circumstances, no constitutionally protected property right exists. Accordingly, we have the 1983 claim fails as a matter of law. If there are no further questions from the court, thank you very much.
Anything further?
Thank you. The argument that 3510 doesn't apply is news to me. wasn't raised in the district court, wasn't raised in their briefs. In their briefs, they acted like they thought 3510 applied, and then tried to distinguish Summers and say that that really wasn't saying what it did when it said that it altered the proposition of employment at will. The reason for the shift, I believe, is that if 3510 does apply, then Summers apply, and Summers clearly says that this provision overcomes the presumption of employment at will. Those are the exact words of Summers. Perhaps the argument's now mutated to those 3510 apply. They're saying that an ordinance of the village can somehow supersede and contradict the Illinois Municipal Code, and that's simply not correct. The village not only had no anti-nepotism policy, they also had no policy of updating their ordinances to keep up with changes in the Municipal Code. The provisions that we're looking at are from, I think, 1928. But the argument that I understand is that we need no reason to terminate because the ordinance says that we can. If the ordinance supersedes the Municipal Code, they are right, I lose. Mr. Myler loses. If they are wrong and 3510 applies, then Summers is an authoritative state court interpretation that says that this does create a presumption that the, well, changes and overcomes the presumption of employment at will. And if it does that, as Summers clearly said that it did, then Myler should win. Thank you.
Thank you to both counsel. We'll take this case under advisement.